Hamachavas shalcholav shenasano b'kira tachas kedera shel basar. You have what we would call a frying pan, in which you have milk, which is boiling, and you put it underneath a pot that contains meat. Hazeya ola v'nivla b'kedera v'osrato. Then we have steam, which is coming out of that pot, which is going to rise, and that steam is then going to be absorbed into the bottom of the pot, which is above it, and it's going to aser the pot. And if you want to know what are the practical consequences, the Rama says, "Im ha'yacholav b'machavas b'inan shishim b'tavshil shebekedera neged ha'cholav shebemachavas." That we're going to view this zeya as connecting the pot above the milk with the milk itself. It's going to be ki'ilu. We have over here rotav, as though we had gravy that was connecting the chalav and the basar.
But the chalav is not asr.
And the chalav will be, what?
The chalav would become asr also.
And the chalav would become asr as well if there is not. Well, we'll have to see in a minute. Okay, that we'll see in 1 minute. What would be the din of the chalav? We'll see. Just 1 second. So where did the Rush get this from? There's no in all of Maseches Chulin. We don't speak about zeya. You know, the term is not mentioned in Maseches Chulin. Where is the term mentioned? The term is mentioned in Mishnayos of Taharos. That's what the Gra over here points out, that we have Mishnayos in Maseches Machshirin that speak about Zeya Shebebayis, and that the Zeya transfers Tum'ah. And even though we have a Gemara in Yevamos, and Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis, which gives a rule, Isur Mituma Lo Yalfinan, that these are worlds, and you cannot necessarily learn out one world from the other world. You can't necessarily learn out one with the other world. The Rush over here says that the Milsa Desvara Yalfinan Isur Mituma, that when we have a proper logical connection, then we can learn out Iser from Tumah, and just as we learn out the world of Nitzot, the world of Irui, from the world of Tumah, that's Mishnayis in Machshirin, Hu Hadin over here. And this is not only the Rush, but also the Rivash. The Rush is in Klal Chaf Siman Kavav. The Rivash is a Tshuva Siman Resh Nun Hei. The Rivash speaks about Cognac. What is Cognac? Cognac, to make this liqueur, they took wine and they distilled the wine. Namely, they turned the wine into a vapor, and then the wine distilled, namely the vapor cooled down, and you got like a very, very concentrate of an alcoholic concentrate. So the Rivash speaks about the fact that going through the stage of being a vapor, it's still considered to be a mashke. It's still a tea of its original source. And so that's the concept over here, that the vapor has the status of a liquid, has the status of a mashke. L'chora, even though this concept is not mentioned directly, Zeh is mentioned directly, Maseches Chulin, but this fits in with what we saw, what the Rama points out, with what we saw in the beginning of Siman Tzadi Beis, with the concept of Nir V'Kisa, that what does Kisa do? That when you cover a pot, then you create a status of Zeya underneath the pot, and then that connects everything which is within the pot. It's as though the pot is filled with liquid. The Zeya has the status of the liquid. So that's what the Gro over here in Sifkatan Lamites points out. Kain nira li besif beis bekisa have kenir shehevel mitpashet bekulo ki ilu kulo betoch harotef. And similarly, perik beis de machshirin merchatz tmeya brecha shebabayis shtei brechot shamsof perikay isha shehayu yadeha v'chule the zeya on the woman's hands. So we have over here, the Rush learns it out from Maseches Machshirin, but clearly we have a very clear parallelism within Maseches Chulin itself in terms of the world of Kisui. So the question is, how does this impact on our ovens? Let's say that I use an oven to make to cook chicken, and then the oven is, in other words, is going to fill up with, do we say that the oven is going to fill up with the vapors of this chicken, and the vapors are going now to be absorbed in the roof of the oven. It's going to go up into the roof of the oven, and then when I'm going to cook something, meat, I'm going to make a pizza in that oven afterwards, so then the vapors of the pizza are going to go up, and they're going to connect the roof of the oven with my pizza, and the tam of the basar in the kisu, in the roof of the oven, is now going to go into my pizza. Can I use an oven for milchiks and fleishiks, b'zeh achar zeh, or do I have to worry about this world of zeyah? So here we have a tremendous machlokes achronim, and I'll just try, and the Rav Avadia did a wonderful job of collecting the basic sources in Shelos Utshuvos Yabia Omer, Chelek Hei, in Yoredeya Siman Zayin, and so everything that I'm going to quote over here is found in Rav Avadia's tshuva. I'll just summarize the tshuva, the Yitachein, that Zeyah has limitations. That there are two achronim, Shelos Tshuvos Beis Yaakov, Shelos Beis Yotzer, who want to be medayek in the language of the Rush. Again, the Rush is the source of moving Zeyah from the world of Tumah to the world of Isur Veheter. He speaks about the fact that how Zeyah Ola V'Nivra B'Kedera V'Os Rasa. That maybe Zeyah is only a one-way street. Maybe Zeyah only goes up and doesn't come down. This is what Yonatan asked a moment ago. In other words, that the Rush speaks about the fact that the pot above the Zeyah is going to become Usur. That it's as though it's connected to the Chalav. But it doesn't say that the Chalav is going to become Usur. Maybe it's a one-way street of connection. So that's what the both Beis Yaakov and Beis Yotzer assume. And so there's no problem with the oven. Namely, that the roof of the oven is going to collect a lot of Zeyah, but it's just going to stay there. It's going to go up. It's not going to come back down. The problem with that approach is, and this is Dogel Merevava, Al-Atar points out, if you have it in your Shulchan Aruch, that Dogel Merevava says, V'gam, to answer Yonatan's question, V'gam ha-machavat ne'esra, she-hazeya ne'esra ve'osrasa, that it's a two-way street. And l'chora, that's what's mashma from the Ramah at the end of Siman Zayin. Look at the Ramah at the end of Siman Zayin. He points out where you have the little lamed ches of the tipa hanofeles al gabe kisui kedera, dina kenafla al gabe kedera neged harotev, v'hu shehischil hakedera lahartiach, az ola hazeya tamid, magia el hakisui, v'yored misham el harotev. That black and white, that which is our question, does Zeyah only go up or does it also come down? So the Ramah says black on white over here that it comes down. And the Gra, again, what's the source? Nierokisa, Havikamokula, Betocharotev. That if we're working off of the world of Kisa creates a closed environment where everything is interconnected. Like Rotev interconnects everything. Din of Bishul, so we view the Zeya as the equivalent of a Mashke, of a Rotev. And also, if you look a little ahead in Siman Sadi Gimel, where you have the Ches of the Gra, in the Ramah in Siman Sadi Gimel, so the Ramah over there says, Im lakcho kisui roteach mi kedera shel basar venosnu oso al kedera shel chalav. You take a pot cover which has absorbed meat, and you put it on a pot, which currently you're cooking milk. Im shneim cham, im shneim asurim. Why? Because in other words, that which comes up also goes down. Namely, that the not only is the pot cover going to absorb the milk from the pot, but the pot is going to absorb the meat from the pot cover. So that limitation or that diuk in the language of the Rush is very, very problematic. That, as the Dogma Rava points out, that lechora it's a two way street. Secondly, the second possible limitation is that of Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote a series of svarim called Tuv Ta'am V'Da'as. This Tuv Ta'am V'Da'as, Kama Tinyana Tlisa'a. So in the Tuv Ta'am V'Da'as Tlisa'a, Chelak Aleph Siman Kuf Ayin Vav, Rav Shlomo Kluger is medayek that the Rush speaks about Zeya coming out of a food. Who says that Zeya can come out of a pot? Namely, that the, in other words, when you have the machavat of chalav, so the chalav creates Zeya. But our issue of the tanur is that we want to say maybe the Zeyak is going to come out of the top of the oven and go into what you're cooking. Who says Zeyak comes out of a kli? So Lechora, again over here, the answer to that to that limitation is exactly the two Ramas that we just saw. That the moment that the Ramah points out in other words, at the end of Siv Zayin, that the Kisui HaKedera is going to give off Azeya into the Kedera. And similarly in Siman Sadi Gimel, the Kisui HaKedera. So it's very hard to say that we're going to limit the rush to a world of Zeya Ola, because we have the Ramah. We're going to limit the rush to a world of Zeya coming out of a food, because we have the Ramah, the Kisui Kedera. The third limitation is already found in the Pisrei Tshuva. The Pisrei Tshuva al Atar in Sifkat Anvav quotes the Prima Gadim in his Hakdama. The Prima Gadim has many, many Hakdamas. We learned that there's Hakdama to Hilchos Shchita, Hakdama to Hilchos Taroves, Hakdama to Hilchos Basa V'Cholav, but the Prima Gadim also has a Hakdama Klavis to all of Or HaChaim, that when Rav Shechter was still the Sheer assistant of the Rav, so he used to give us chaburas in YU. So he gave us two chaburas. One chabura was in Hilchos Shabbos, and the other chabura was in the Hakdama of the Prima Gadim, where it's a tremendous amount of bekiyus in all areas of Shas. Rav Shechter was able to give us such a chabura. So over there in the Hakdama of the Prima Gadim to Or HaChaim, the Maariv Makom is in the Pisrei Tshuva. He points out that in the world of Tum'ah, we only have Zeya coming out of liquids. That's the nature of the world. Machshirin, we're talking about a Brecha, we're talking B'toch HaBayit, we're talking over there about a Merchatz. We're talking about a Zeya coming out of a liquid. The question is there also a content of a Zeya coming out of a solid? Does a pizza have Zeya? In other words, is this also something which is going to connect the pizza to the roof of the oven?
Is this before we learned the chalovas? Didn't we learn in ovens all this? We learned by tzli.
In Tilchos Taros, we dealt with the world of recha, and we pointed out that recha, when you have two things simultaneously in an oven, then we have a machlokas, whether recha milsa or recha lav milsa.
Right.
That's when they're simultaneously, at the same time, you have two pots, one of meat and one of milk. And we said l'chatchila, we have an issue, but b'dievet it's mutter. Here our question is, what about zeya?
Well, if it's cut, the oven is closed, then it's a
certain then if the oven is closed, then we move over to the world of zeya. But the question is, what are do in other words are the limitations?
Do we say like tzli is more chomer than bishul?
So over there, we spoke about in the world of Recha, but in the world of Zeya, we just said we're going to talk about it when we get to Hilchos Basa V'Cholav. So now we're talking about it. Okay, so so on one hand, we have this Prima Gadim in the Hakdama who raises the issue that if we're learning out Zeya from the world of Tumah V'Tahara, maybe it only applies to liquids and not to solids. However, the Dogam Ravava Alatar quotes a sif of Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach, that in Siman Taf Nun Aleph, we're going to learn this in Yirtzeh Hashem after Pesach, in Siman Taf Nun Aleph Sif Tesvav, the Machaber over there speaks about a kisui shel charara. Namely, before they had electric toasters, how did they make toast? So, I don't know if you've ever seen in your kitchens what's called a potato baker, that there is a two-tiered bottom that has holes in it, that has a handle, and you put that two-tiered bottom on top of the fire, and then you would put a piece of toast or a potato on top of that, and then there would be like a bowl, a metal bowl that would cover it. So you have like a hill, like a mountain, right? You have this metal bowl on top of a two-tiered cover that will prevent the fire from going in, And then you can put a piece of bread in there and it'll turn the bread into toast. On one side. You turn over the bread the other side. Or you can make it to bake potato, or it's in that manner. So the question is, do you have to be machshir for Pesach? Let's say you used it to make toast during the course of the year. And now you want to use it to make potatoes. So clearly the bottom part requires libun, because you have a piece of bread which is directly on it. What about the kisui? The kisui shel charara, does that have to be, does that require a hechsher for Pesach? So the Machaber Paskins, yes, that the kisui also requires libun. And the question is why? So the Magen Avraham over there gives two reasons. A, maybe it touched the bread. Maybe when you put on the kisui, the bread is a square and the kisui is round, maybe it touched a corner of the bread. And so you have a blia from the bread directly into the kisui. Secondly, says the Magen Avraham over there, because of Zeya, that the bread also gives off a Zeya, and that Zeya is going to be absorbed in the kisui, and that kisui, therefore, is chametz stick, because it absorbed a tam chametz via the Zeya. So you see over there...
Are we choshish for that Magen Avraham?
What?
Are we choshish for that Magen
Avraham? That's the question. Halach lemaisa, are we choshish for the Magen Avraham that there could be Zeya from a solid food, not just from a liquid food? And there's l'chor no more solid food than a piece of bread. I mean, it's a piece of bread. Okay. Or do we say, the option is saying, maybe that's a chumra in Pesach. Right? In Pesach, we know there are all kinds of chumras. Maybe that's a chumra in Pesach. Okay, that's a third possibility of limiting the damage of Zeya. The fourth possibility, again, I'm working off of Rav Avadya's tshuva, there are three more, is a shelos or tshuvos even yikara. I've never seen these svarim, but maybe Rav Bednarsh has, or maybe they're in the Bar Ilan, I don't know. Shelos tshuvos even yikara, chel gimel simon yudchet, that maybe the whole issue of Zeya is a case where you have an external source of heat. Like here you have heat, and then above the heat you have the machavat, and above that you have the kedera. Or even in the world of making the charara, you have heat coming from the bottom. You have heat coming from the outside. But in an oven, the heat is internal, right? The heat is from within the oven. There are holes and you know, convection ovens. All sorts of ovens have heat from within, not just from without. And so when you have a heating element which is kilu from within, maybe that burns up the zeya. Maybe there's only zeya when the heat is external. That allows for the zeya to build up inside. But maybe when the heat is internal, then that would destroy the zeya.
Check, who says this?
This is a shelos tshuva in yikara. And number five, we have an Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan, most of us have heard of, right? So here, Alatar, in Siman Tzadi Bey, Sifkatan Nun Hei, right? The Aruch HaShulchan has many more Sifim Ketanim than the Sifim in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shachar Taz. Nun Hei, Alatar, he says, maybe there's only Zeya in a very, very limited area where the Zeya is concentrated, like between a frying pan and the pot, which is right above the frying pan. There you have Zeya. But when we're dealing with an oven, right? An oven is large. It dissipates. Maybe there's not enough of a concentration in one of our ovens. You know, that parallel to what Yeshayahu mentioned earlier, we learned the din of Recha. So we saw the difference between a Tanur Gadol and a Tanur Katan in the world of Recha. Maybe there's also a difference between a small area and a Tanur Gadol in the world of Zeya. Okay, and then the final tshuva that Rav Avadya quotes is Shelos Tshuvos Beis Yotzer, that we mentioned earlier, but he gives another reason. He says maybe the Zeya, which is absorbed in the roof of the oven, who says that it all comes out? Maybe only a small amount of it is going to come out, and it's going to be b'shishim in terms of whatever you're making afterwards. And we pointed out that according to the Rashba, whenever you have shishim, then whenever you have a continuous situation of shishim, there's no dinvei mevatan yisrael chatchila. That's the shefa. So maybe in a chinami, the zeya goes in, the zeya comes out, but maybe only a small amount comes out, and that small amount, you know, where it says we pointed out over here, you know, it's haya cholav amachavas binyan shishim betavshil shebekedera. So that's when you have a tavshil shebekedera. So then we have maybe there's much less if we don't have a tavshil shebekedera. All you have is the roof of the oven. So Rav Avadya says that because of all of these reasons, we don't know how to paskin. So we have a suffix. How we paskin? No. So we have to ask ourselves: is zeya da oraisa or is zeya drabanan? Is zeya da oraisa that will say suffix da oraisa lachumra, or is zeya drabanan that we can be makel like many of the shitos because of suffix drabanan lakula? So Rav Avadya says that's a machlokes achronim. Where do we find the machlokes achronim about zeya? So Rav Avadya says, we have two gemaras that we haven't even mentioned that speak about zeya. We have a Gemara in Psachim, on Daf Kafdalad Amid Beis, which speaks about Zeya Hayotze Mi Orla. Let's say you have an apple, which is Orla. Apple grew in the third year of the tree's growth. And you take this apple, and you squeeze it. And now you have apple juice. So the question is this apple juice... would one get malkos for drinking this apple juice? If you eat the apple, you eat orga, then you get malkos. What about if you drink the apple juice? So the Gemara says there is no malkos, unless you're talking about either wine or oil. Wine or oil, olive oil or wine, that's considered to be a meaningful mashke. So if you have grapes that are orga and you drink the wine, you get malkos. If you have olives that are orga and you drink the olive oil, you get malkos. But other fruits, apples and pears, etc., the Gemara uses the expression zeya ba'almahu. It's zeya ba'alma. And then we have another Gemara in brachos that we know that in the world of making a bracha, if you eat the fruit itself, you make a bari priya eitz. What if you drink the juice of the fruit? What bracha do you make on apple juice? So the Gemara speaks about the fact that apple juice is zeya ba'alma. You make a shehakol. So the question is, how do we view these Gemaras in terms of the nature of zeya? So that's a machlokus between the Pnei Yehoshua and the Chacham Tzvi. The Pnei Yehoshua has a kuntris acharon in his perush on kiddushin. And in that kuntris acharon, he deals with the issues of chadosh. It's a famous kuntris acharon of the Pnei Yehoshua, which he has all sorts of kulos in the world of Chadosh. So over there he says that the moment the Gemara uses the phrase zeya ba'alma, it means that the issue of zeya is only drabanan, and that's why there is no malkos, and that's why the bracha goes down from a bori priya eitz to a shahako, because the whole concept that zeya is meaningful is only meaningful on a drabanan plane. While the Pnei Yehoshua, while the Chacham Tzvi says matitam, those are the exceptions. Zeya is really a din da'oraisa. Masha Enken, we have a gzeras hakasuv by Orla, that of pri. And we have a gzeras hakasuv in the world, we have a din in the world of brachos, that the zeya is not defined as a pri. But generally, zeya is da'oraisa. The Pnei Yehoshua deals with this in terms of schnapps. If you have schnapps, schnapps is made from schnapps or beer, it's made from malt. It's made from wheat. And what if that wheat or the malt is chadash?
Is the Pnei Yehoshua or the Chacham Tzvi?
The Pnei Yehoshua says in Nafgamina, whether it's Doraisa or Rabbanan, is in the world of malt or in the world of beer, in the world of schnapps, that if I were to make schnapps out of tvua, which is chadash, and again, the schnapps is made via a process of distillation, that, you know, you get the alcohol and then you turn it into vapors, and then that gives it the character, the strength of the distilled, the condensed alcohol. That's why people get high on people don't get high eating toast, but they get high when the wheat is fermented and then it's distilled. And then that's why where they make the whiskey, it's called distillery. Right? It's a distillery. It's distilled. It goes through the stage of mashke. He says that has, in other words, does it have the same status as the wheat? So if Zeya is Da'oraisa, it would have the same status. The Panei Yeshua says that Zeya is Durabanan, and so it has a lower status, and then we have also the Sfeikos in terms of Chadash. Maybe Chadash is a Sfeik, Sfeik, etc. He wants to be Mekel in terms of the whiskey coming out of the wheat. And so Rav Avadya says, L'chora, whatever is said over there applies to our sugya over here. It applies to an oven. That if we're going to say that Zeya is Drabanan, there's room for all sorts of kulos. The problem over here is, and this is that Rav Avadya was not bothered by it really at all, because by Rav Avadya, if we have the word Zeya, it's totally irrelevant if Zeya means apple juice or we're talking about steam. But in our terminology, we'd say steam may have one halacha. It could either be l'chula or l'chumra. And apple juice would have another halacha. Not necessarily, even though the word zeya may be used for both of them, not necessarily the same. And namely, when the gra wanted to bring a raya, or when the rush wanted to bring a raya to the world of zeya, he didn't bring a raya from the world of apple juice. Right? The gra brought a raya from the world of machshirin, where you have a merchatz, where you have a brecha, where you have heat turning water into steam. That is parallel to the world of basar v'chalav. In any case, Rav Avadya then, before he gives his halacha l'maisa answer, points out that there's one more reason to be mekel in the world of ovens, as opposed to the case over here of the Rosh or the Ramah, and that is that generally ovens are preheated. And we have a halacha that even though no one would say that preheating is the equivalent of libun chamor. Libun chamor is using a blowtorch, is that the metal is going to change color. That's libun chamor. However, there's a concept called libun kal, that if you something to the degree that were you to touch a piece of hay to the surface that you heated, that piece that would begin to burst into flame, then that's considered to be libun kal. Most of our ovens reach certainly the level of libun kal when we are using them. Libun chamor, that would be a self-cleaning oven, that would get to libun chamor. And we have a halacha that when we have isura bala, when we have an isur that was nivla and you want to do get it out via libun, you need libun chamor. But when we have hetera bala, when you have a heter that was nivla, then we say that you can get it out via either hag'ala or via libun kal. Libun kal gets out a hetera bala. And so let's say that our oven absorbed meat, because we roast the chicken in the oven, and then we preheat the oven before making milk. Maybe it's as though we're doing a hag'ala, we're doing a libun kal, that we are removing the zeya from the walls of the oven via this process of libun kal, via the preheating. So all of these factors have to be taken into account in terms of psak halacha, and so we find in terms of poskei zmanenu, I would say, let's say four opinions. Let's start with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has three tshuvas on this matter. And in Yoredeya Chelok Aleph Siman Mem, and then again in Yoredeya Chelok Aleph Siman at the end of Siman Nuntet, then he returns to it in Chelok Gimel Siman Yud. And firstly, he disagrees head on with the Aruch HaShulchan. He says once an oven is closed, there's Zeya. You don't need necessarily a very, very concentrated area to have Zeya. In our ovens, we have an issue of Zeya. Then he says, so if we have an issue of Zeya, so if we use our ovens for fleishiks, now our oven, the walls of the oven, are like a fleishik pot. They absorb, not only, you know, the fleishik pot absorbs via rotev, our ovens absorb via Zeya. Zeya is the equivalent of rotev. So we all know that if you were to use a fleishik pot for milchiks after me'es la'es, after you waited 24 hours, you shouldn't do it, but b'di'evid, there's no problem. No same time, lifgam. Okay. What about using it within the first 24 hours? So then we have an Easter even to do it. Forget about the result. But Rav Moshe says, I have three heterim. One heter is kederos mechusot. That we have over here in the continuity of the Ramah, calls a mayrik shamachavat megula, that when the machavat is open, then we have an issue. Aval im hamachavat mechusa mikol, then shari. If you have a pot cover on your machavat, there's not going to be any zeya. So if when you roast your chicken, you have a closed roaster, or in other words, so then there's not going to, then the oven walls are not going to be baleya anything. The zeya is going to remain within the smaller kisui. So as long as you make a decision, I'm going to use my oven for milchiks and fleishiks, but I'm always going to cover one of them. So then there's no problem. As long as you cover one of them, so when that is covered, there's not going to be any zeya. And so even if the walls are full of the zeya of the other min, but they're never going to come out of that unless there's zeya currently. So if you decide, I'm always going to cover the milchiks, I'm going to make pizza under a cover, I'm going to make cheesecake under silver foil, so then there's no problem, even if the oven absorbed from the meat, but it's not going to be able to come out because there's not going to be a zeya to pull it out. Or you could say, I'm always going to cover the fleishiks, one or the other. Okay?
It would have to be double wrap. Right?
No, just one cover. One cover. Not to allow, double wrap will come to in a minute. That's a different issue. In other words, one cover would be enough. Again, if you're dealing with a thin layer of silver foil, maybe you want to use a double cover just to be sure that it's really covered, that it shouldn't spring a leak, have a hole. That's A. B, yes?
Don't we say that meaning he is equating this kind of to recha, meaning if you're going to cook...
No, nothing to do with recha. We're dealing over here with Sif Ches. And in Sif Ches, the Ramah says, on the Rosh who said that we're going to have Zeya coming out of a machavat to the Kedera, but the Ramah says that's only if the machavat is uncovered. But if the machavat has a cover, then there's no issue.
No, but in that situation, Rav Moshe is drawing direct parallel, meaning by recha, the din is the same. If you
can, who cares about recha?
So he because the halacha is mamish the same.
Okay, so you're pointing out a ha'ara that we have a parallel chiluk in the world of recha, but here where the chiluk is in the world of zeya. Zeya and recha don't necessarily have the same criteria. Here you're pointing out it happens to be they have a similar criteria. Okay, fine. The second point that Rav Moshe makes is that if you have an oven that has a heating element on the top of the oven. Many ovens, particularly electric ovens, have, you know, you have like a switch that you can have a heating element on the bottom, on the top. If you have a heating element on the top, that heating element will burn up the zeya before it gets to the roof of the oven. In other words, so the zeya rises and it's going to be burnt up by the heating element. Okay, so that's also there, that there's simply, we don't have to worry about zeya being absorbed in the walls of the oven, because it first goes up and then spreads. But if it goes up and then it's zapped by this heating element, so then there's nothing to talk about. And the third heter that Rav Moshe has is the davar yavesh, that if we have a davar yavesh, if we are baking as opposed to cooking, we're baking cookies, right? Then there's no zeya to talk about. Even if those cookies are milchik, there's no zeya to talk about. Again, this is mistama. Now again, everything, there's like the liquid of, you know, where it's of chicken gravy, that's like a real liquid. You're cooking chicken in liquid. And then you have dough, which lechora is very dry, and you have batter, which is, you know, the question is, so Rav Moshe is speaking about something like dough. Dough, hard cheese. So pizza, according to Rav Moshe, the dough and the hard cheese, there's not going to be any zeya coming out. Depends, of course, on how much ketchup you have. If you have a lot of ketchup, maybe the ketchup will turn it into... Okay, so that's one sheet. That's Rav Moshe. Rav Ovadia himself says that I'm going to be willing to be matir with two conditions. A, you wait 24 hours, and B, you preheat. So if we have the combination, I'm turning this into a kli, which is a no same time of gun, a kli eno ben yomo, and I preheat it, then that combination will allow me l'chatchila to use it for the other min. So if I make cheesecake today, so I'll count 24 hours, and tomorrow night I can make chicken, and then I'll wait 24 hours, and again, but always a combination of the preheating and the eno ben yomo.
Is l'chatchila he's saying this?
Yeah. Rav... Rav Lichtenstein is quoted in the RJJ article that you have in front of you, Rabbi Jachter's article, as being matir either or. Either wait 24 hours or do a libun kal. His libun kal is preheating, he says, for an hour. Preheat the oven for an hour, that's a libun kal. Or, normally we don't take a kli basari and turn. But here we have a question in terms, is there really zeya? For all the reasons that we mentioned. Maybe it goes up and doesn't come down. Maybe it only applies to liquid, not to a solid. Maybe it's already burnt up. Maybe. So either or. Either wait an hour. Be mechamim for an hour or wait 24 hours. Assuming, again, the oven is clean. We're talking here only about zeya, not about the... And finally, Rav Shechter says, I agree with the Aruch HaShul, that our American ovens, there is no zeya. They're too large to have zeya, and therefore there's no issue. And then you have the question that Rav Shechter's always asked, well, what about a toaster oven? You know, a person in Gruz, he doesn't have an American, magic chef. Israeli ovens. So what about an Israeli oven? What about a toaster oven? You know, at what point do you move into the machavas and the kedera mode? So he would look at it and say, there you should worry. No, that's okay. Those are the four approaches that I'm aware of. What about a micro? Yes?
Sometimes, could we have two definitions of this, Reha and Zeya? Because some of us who don't quite have a Reha of the exact understanding.
Reha is where you have an open grill on which you are making. You're making some sort of a cheese dish, and you have basar on this open grill, and then we say that the fact that you're using the grill simultaneously for both, there's going to be a certain amount of recha, and we paskin that really you shouldn't do it, but yeah, but there's no problem.
So two things are cooking at the
same time. Okay. And but we pointed out, as Yonatan pointed out, in the world of Recha, we said that if you have an oven which is closed or which is small, then it moves from the world of Recha to the world of Zeya. And the world of Zeya is not only when you have them simultaneously, but even Ze'achar Ze. Okay. In terms of a microwave, L'chaora, I mean, there are those who want to say that there's no Zeya in a microwave because the walls never get to Yad Soledetbo. And if it's not Yad Soledetbo, it's never going to be a Blia into the walls. However, I have found in the microwave, it depends how long you have it on.
The technology has changed over the years, too. That's what I understand. Yes, it doesn't seem to get hotter now.
It does or doesn't?
I think it gets hotter. People say it's hotter.
Right. No, in other words, if you take a microwave and you were to take a glass of water, put it in the microwave and press 5 minutes, then when you open your microwave, that microwave is going to be full of steam. And if you try to touch the microwave, your hand is going to pull back. The microwave has the same temperature as the steam. And so it really depends. I mean, if you're using a microwave only for heat, then maybe it's not going to get that hot. But if you're using your microwave for cooking, and many people cook rice in a microwave, they cook potatoes in a microwave, you could cook things in a microwave, then you're going to have an issue also of zeya. And so a microwave, l'chora, requires a hechsher. Or again, that you can decide, I'm going to have two microwaves, or I'm going to have one microwave that I'm going to use always covered for milchik. My milk I'm always going to put into a paper bag and uncovered for fleishik or mashu kazeh. Okay? Where do we come up with the issue of the double wrapper? So just repeat what we said in Hilchos Ta'arovas. That if you have a situation like in an airplane where you have non-kosher and kosher meals being heated simultaneously, and the non-kosher meals are not covered, right? The non-kosher meals are being put into the microwave uncovered. So now you have zeya of bacon, of pork, of whatever is there in the world. then you need that the kosher be double wrapped. Why? Because the micro, because the zeah will be absorbed by the outer cover of the wrapping. But if you have an inner cover, then it's like shtei kederos shenagu zeba zeba li rotev. And then there's not going to be any transfer from the outer cover to the inner cover. Then we, if you overed your kosher meal once, so then the zeah is going to go into the kisui. And from the kisui, inside of what you're cooking, you're also going to have zeah. It's going to move from the kisui through the zeah into the food you're eating. But if you have a double cover, so in the chinami, the outer cover is treif. The outer cover is treif. When you pull out, when it comes to you, double wrap, the outer cover, we're going to assume, is treif. The inner cover is kosher. And therefore, that which was inside the inner cover is also going to be kosher. So when you're cooking simultaneous kosher and non-kosher, or simultaneous meat and milk, then you need a double cover. But if you're cooking zeh achar zeh, all you need is one cover to prevent the zeah from entering into the airspace of the oven. Okay? The seder? Okay. That is sif ches. Okay. Let's move over to sif tes. Ner shel chelev ha'asui kener shel sha'ava. We have a ner of ma'acholos asuros. She'nata fimenu tipa al kli. And you have wax, non-kosher wax, falling on a kli. Ein tzarech ki'im greda. You just scrape it off. Avo chelev mehutach cham she'nata fimenu tipa al kli. But if you took that chelev and you had it in a pot, and it liquefied in the pot, and then a tipa fell from that on a kli, tzarech haga'ala. So this is a din, as you saw in the Beragola, in name of the Trumas Hadeshen. That, you know, we move in within the Mechaber from the beginning of the Siman to the end of the Siman. The beginning of the Siman begins with Gemaras, and then to more well-known Rishonim, and at the end he gets to the Shelos of Tshuvos. This is the last sif. It's from the Trumas Hadeshen. And the problem is, over here, we're talking about Irui. We're talking about spillage. And we pointed out up to now that Irui requires Kidei Klipa. And here we have two cases of Irui. The first one we have Greda, and the second one we have Hag'ala. How does this fit in with our understanding of Irui? So the Shach understands that Greda is less than a Klipa. And Hag'ala is because we have a Klipa. Namely, when we have an absorption kidei klipa, then you need hagala. When there's an absorption less than a klipa, then greda is enough. And so the shach distinguishes over here, this little shach, that when we have a nifsak hakiluach, then it's enough to do greda. When we have lo nifsak hakiluach, then you require the hagala. Then we have the kidei klipa. And so the dogomer of Vav Latar says, just a minute, Ayen Simon Kufei B'Shach Siv Katan. Hey, just look back. We saw that it's irrelevant whether Nifsak HaKiluach, Lo Nifsak HaKiluach. You always require Kedei Klipa. Where we were Mekil in the last year in Siv Zayin was where you had an Irui that then was Nizchal. When you have an Irui which flows on a surface, there we're Mekil, maybe there's no Kedei Klipa. But a classic Irui, whether Kedei Klipa or Lo Kedei Klipa, the Shach says, requires kedei klipa. So what's going on over here? So we have two other understandings of the Mechaber. One is the Dogomer Vava himself. I'm sorry. One is the Gra, and one is Rabbi Akiva Eger. The Gra distinguishes between where the Irui is coming from. We here we have an Irui coming from a candle, and we have an Irui coming from a pot with liquid in it. So when we're speaking about Irui, B'kol HaTorah Kula, we speak about a Kli Rishon. You're Ma'arif from a Kli Rishon, from a pot that has a liquid, and then you pour, that's the Irui that requires Kedei Klipa. So there, that's where the Mechaber says that you require Hag'ala to get out the Kedei Klipa. But an Irui from a candle is considered to be a less intense Irui, because the you're dealing with a small flame, it's very, very local, and by the time that it drips, it's already losing some of its koach. And so when you're dealing with the Irui coming out of the candle, that is enough to have greda. And when you're, which is less than a kli, but when you're dealing with an irui coming from a kli rishon, that's a classic irui that requires a kedei klipa, and that's what we mean over here by hagala. That's the gra al atar in sifkatan membeis. And then we have Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, no, you got everything is wrong over here. We have to just up the ante. Greda means klipa, and hagala means kedei kulo. And what the mechaber over here is saying is that when we have an irui shenifsa kakiluach, then we require kedei klipa. When you have an irui shelonifsa kakiluach, the mechaber over here is machmir that it goes kedei kulo. We saw a machlokas in terms of irui, how far is it going to be absorbed. So over here, the mechaber is machmir for those shitos that it goes kedei kulo. Look at Rabbi Akiva Eger, nafa menutipa, truma sadesh mevuar hatam, the chamal kol panim, kamo irui shelo nifsa kakiluach, hainu de sphira le, the kisposkim, the irui shelo nifsa kakiluach, oser kulo, kamo kli rishon. That over here, the mechaber is quoting a truma sadeshin, who's machmir in the world of irui. And the first section is a case of nifsa kakiluach, and nifsa kakiluach there, greda means klipa, like the shach points out, that even nifsa kakiluach requires kedei klipa. In other words, that we don't paskin like this mechaber. We paskin in all cases, kedei klipa is really enough. Okay. So we have three explanations of the Mechaber, the Shach's explanation, on which the Dogo Maravava takes the Shach to task for being Soser himself, the Groz explanation, and Rabbi Kiva Eger's explanation. Al Atar also, we have over here a Taz in Sifkaton Lamed, in which this Taz goes into a long discussion of the status of a ladle. How do we view a ladle? A matzeket. How do we view a ladle? Is it like a kli rishon, or is it like a kli sheni? So he quotes the Maharil, who says that a ladle is really like a kli sheni. You put the ladle into the kli rishon, this is now a kli sheni, and that which you're pouring out is already iru kli sheni. Unless you keep the label in the kli rishon for a very long period of time, then it gets the status of the kli rishon. However, the Taz himself quotes a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, and Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, where the Ri has a suffix. And the Taz says, we should live with the suffix of the Ri, namely, that will go L'chumra in both directions. That will be Machmir, that maybe a label is a klisheni, and therefore don't use it for Hagalah, because it's not going to remove that which was absorbed by a Kli Rishon. And maybe a ladle is a Kli Rishon, and therefore don't use it to take the feathers off of the neck of an animal, because maybe you're going to cause a bishul of the blood in that area into the neck of the animal, and you're going to aser that area kedei klipa. So we're going to be machmir, whatever will be a chumrah, that's what we're going to say about the ladle. So in Hilchos Shabbos, we would be machmir that the ladle is like a kli rishon, and pouring from the ladle is irui kli rishon. Okay, we'll be machmir in all directions. Ad kan Siman Tzadi Beis. Did you get to Siman Tzadi Gimel? Okay, Akash Baruch Hu runs the world. So I'm leaving you for 2.5. Okay, so we just finished Siman Tzadi Gimel. So now we'll continue with Siman Tzadi Dalet. Okay? I'm just joking. Okay. What?
Not surprised.
I'm leaving Wednesday evening. So now you have from today until okay? Next year is going to be 2 weeks from Thursday. Okay? To catch up, if those of you were behind, and to go ahead of me, because I'm going to assume that when I come back, I'm going to give 3 shiurim to finish Hilchos Basa V'chol V'mirtz Hashem before Purim. So there'll be a shiur Thursday and Monday, and then you agreed to have a shiur on Tainus Esther, which is Wednesday, after Mincha. And so we'll finish until we finish.
Is that applied to me? I have a different Tainus Esther. Oh, no, I don't. We said we don't have
it. You have the same Tainus Esther.
Right.
You'll get home in time for Chris and Megillah.
Okay.
It's okay with you, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do it right after Mincha. In other words, about 1:30. We'll have a shiur until we finish. And then you'll have another period of chazara from then until we take the, for about 2 weeks, until the Bechina, which is Gimel Nisan. Right? From after Purim, you have 2 weeks, a little more than 2 weeks. And okay?
It'd be great, especially for the shiur more up on the way we told you to.
Right, so you can even listen to me in advance, even before I say it.
Right.
You can tell me what if I say something wrong. But rather, 2 years ago you said kafir kafir.
One
after
said
is
thank you.
Okay, Shabbat.